Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
Our series for this season of Advent is indeed this is the definition of Advent, which is that Jesus is coming soon, and the sense of expectation and hope that that brings with it. I want to read for you today from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 3 begins with, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, "Well, we have Abraham as our father." I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is a series in which we are looking at this understanding of expectation that Jesus is coming. This season of Advent is recognizing that Jesus is coming, that we are getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we are also in our lives getting ready for the return of Jesus. So we are at that point of the season where if you don't know what you're doing for Christmas soon, you're going to be doing Overnight Express in just a couple of weeks. We're at that time of the season where my parents, my siblings are saying, "Hey, we're thinking about Christmas, and what are your interests again? We're trying to figure out what to do for Christmas here." So this is where it's on everyone's mind, because we recognize there's a little bit of preparation that goes into Christmas, right? There's a little bit of preparation and readiness for whether you're having family over or getting gifts ready. There's always a little bit of preparation that goes with the excitement of knowing that this day is coming. Every event needs a little bit of preparation. And this is what John the Baptist is saying to the people as he says, Jesus is coming, the person you have been waiting for, that has been prophesied about for and has been a part of the stories of your faith for generations, is coming, and this event takes preparation. Jen and I were talking just this week about, we just got on a tangent talking about continuing education and the need, and how every field has recertifications, has continuing education, has seminars, has moments in which people stay fresh with whatever area of work that they are in. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been to one of those kinds of seminars or continuing education events or required trainings, and it's obvious that the person preparing that training just barely put it together because, you know, it had to be done and they weren't really ready to do it, then you have experienced what I've experienced sometimes, where you go, "Really? Is that the best you have? Come on, could this be a little more interesting or a little more engaging or a little more fun?" Every event needs a little bit of preparation. When you can tell someone hasn't prepared for that moment, it is just evident. And so, for the return of Christ, John the Baptist is saying, we too must prepare for when he arrives. In fact, the way he talks about this is by quoting Isaiah, who says, "There is a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." Before I moved here, I was pastoring in Arkansas, and it was in a small rural town. just west of the Ozark Mountains. And we had some people in the church who lived outside even those small town limits. And I would go and I would visit them, and I'd turn off the road to get to their house, and there'd be a little road or path to go. There'd be a little dirt road. But to say it's a little dirt road is not maybe what you're thinking about, of just an unpaved road or perhaps even a gravel road. No, this was a rocky road. Not the good ice cream kind, the kind where like the rocks are like softball or larger sized. Like the whole road was softball sized rocks. If you want to test the suspension of your car, you just drive there. Like the whole time, you could feel the whole thing rocking and swaying. A gravel road is fine, you know, you hear it kind of churning up underneath the wheels, hitting the bottom of your car, okay, whatever. But on this, it was like every single bump you felt. And I remember going to visit someone, I pulled into their driveway, and I said hi to them, and I said, now I know what Isaiah meant when he said we're going to make straight paths, because this path to your house was the rockiest I have ever experienced. It is this idea that what we are doing is we are making it easy for Jesus to come and be a part of our lives, to make the path straight where it is easy for us to continue. Just last week, we were preparing to move this the parsonage, and from moving the boxes and moving the furniture, my knees were killing me. And I remember thinking to myself, my knees have not hurt this bad since the last time I climbed Mount Katahdin with Eric. And it was hurting so bad coming down after 6 hours of hiking that I actually asked a passing by hiker, do you have any pain medicine on you? Because I just couldn't think of anything else with each step, because there were so many rocks and so many boulders we had been climbing that I just trusted that whatever medicine they gave me out of whatever bottle they said they had, that it was okay for me, that it truly was the ibuprofen or whatever it was they said it was. But it's one of those where, like, when we were hiking down, like, if there was just, like, 5 feet or 5 steps that were level, I was so thankful that all I was experiencing was the soreness of having hiked for 6 hours. But any time I had a step down at the tail end of that hike, it was incredible pain. And I found myself thinking again, wow, this is something where my body said, enough is enough. And I desired those straight paths. That idea that life will be something that is smoothed out at the return of Christ. But this isn't just about the straight paths that God will make. In the passage of Isaiah, he does speak about leveling mountains and creating fields and allowing people to be able to live in this idea without danger, without hardship. Or as we read in the Old Testament passage in our reading, where even a child could stick their hand in a viper's nest without danger and without worry. This idea of making straight paths, so interestingly enough, the voice that is calling the wilderness, John the Baptist, this is not just a promise of what is to come, but is also a directive to God's people. He's saying, will you make a straight path for the Lord? In other words, does the Lord have easy access to your life? I think sometimes we put up walls and barriers, but in this case, with this illustration, I don't even think that's the case necessarily. Sometimes I don't think we try to like put up a wall or put up a barrier and say, hey, God, I don't want you to have any part of my life. We might do that. But I think sometimes we just go about life and say, I'm just not making it easy for him. And we find ourselves wondering, how come I don't see God in this area of my life? Or how come I don't see what God is doing in our world? But we haven't made it easy for God to come and dwell in our lives, or for His Spirit to be the air that we breathe, that we would be able to say, okay, God, the kinds of things that become hiccups in our relationship, I want to try to smooth and put myself in a place where indeed I am breathing in Your presence and allowing You access into my life. And this is primarily the message of John the Baptist to us and to the first people he was speaking to, is Jesus is coming, but this is an event that takes preparation for. And are you doing everything you can to make sure you are ready when Jesus comes? And so the repentance that he calls for is not just a repentance that entails confessing, although it does entail that. Repentance means to turn our lives and order our lives and our way of thinking towards God, that we would indeed honor Him with our life. John is displayed as someone like the prophet Elijah. When it talks about who he is, living out in the wilderness, how he's dressed and what he's doing, the images that are found in Matthew chapter 3 are precisely the images of how they understood the prophet Elijah and how he was described. The prophet Elijah is one who, in a time in their nation when they were tempted to worship other gods and false gods of those around them, Elijah, one of the last prophets, showed them again the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had led them out of slavery, and in this great show of faith showed that God was one who still cares about them, who still loves them, and in a great show of faith showed that He is the only true God. And this John the Baptist comes as one like this prophet, sharing with them a truthful word about who God is for them. And he's baptizing them in the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is not just any river. It's not just a river that happens to be called Jordan. The Jordan River is a symbol of faith. For when the people of God were led out of slavery and led to the promised land, God had said, I have a promise for you. I have a future for you. All of this deliverance is leading to something, and I'm taking you there. As they got to the promised land, there was a river that barred their entry. And just as there was a river at the beginning of the Exodus when Pharaoh's army was coming against them and God parted that sea so they could walk through on dry land, so also as they got to the promised land, there was the Jordan River. And they went up to that river and God parted those waters. And they walked through as if on dry land. And the Jordan River has forever been a symbol of faith, a symbol of trusting that God will lead us and be with us even when there are barriers in the way. Even when we don't know what that next step is going to look like, even when there's a little bit of nervousness or trepidation, to understand that when God says, I am leading you and will be with you, that He will deliver us all the way. And so they are baptized in the Jordan River, and this baptism is a symbol then of fully trusting that God is going to be with us and God is going to lead us and that we are going to be willing to do whatever it takes to follow God and His plan for us, to be ready for Him. So John has come as the prophet, showing us that this Jesus who is coming is someone who has been talked about and they have been expecting for a very long time. But when I think of this Sunday in Advent and this emphasis on the prophet, I can't help but think that this Sunday is not just supposed to be, hey, look, Jesus was someone we had been expecting for a long time. Hey, look, there were words about Him long ago and now He's fulfilling all of it and this is Him. But I can't help but look at this and think that we are also called to be prophets with our faith and in our life. That as He prepared the way and said, Jesus is coming, so also as we are getting ready for this Christmas season where we celebrate that Jesus came and was born in a manger and came as a babe, so also we are preparing a world for when Christ returns and comes again. To be able to say that God has a plan and a future for you, that just as He had a promised land for the people of God, He has a promised land for us as well. And that He will see us through and even remove the barriers that get in the way. That He is just asking us to open up our hearts and our lives to Him, to remove the barriers, to make those paths straight so that Jesus can dwell in our life. And sometimes that prophetic word can become one of judgment, can become one of disdain, as we forget where we've come from. And that's precisely what happens next in this story. For the people who come to John the Baptist, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were people who had become very comfortable in their faith, very comfortable in their religion, and very frustrated by people who didn't listen to what they had to say. And so they had very judging words for those kinds of people. And so when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to where he was, he calls them out. He calls them in. I can't help but think brood of vipers might have been a curse in that time. He says, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? This Jesus who comes to make straight paths, this Jesus who comes to right the wrongs, why are you here? You're one of the wrongs He's coming to right, is what He's saying to them. He's like, you're one of the problems we have in this world because you bring your judgmentalism, you bring disdain to people in this world, and you are using your faith and your religion to actually hold people back rather than to release them into the love and grace of our God. And so he says to them, why don't you produce fruit in keeping with repentance? Producing fruit in keeping with repentance, I think on the one hand, yes, has a moral element to how we live, but also producing fruit in repentance means we remember where we've come from. Remember what God has done in our life, and so that doesn't leave room for being judgmental towards those around us. In fact, leads us to say we want to be gracious and we want to help people realize there's a God who loves them where they are and for who they are. And they cannot claim any authority about where they've come from, who their parents or their grandparents were. He says, just as God created humanity out of the dust, he can create descendants of Abraham out of the rocks. And he warns them that God is ready to take care of them. This warning of the axe is at the root of the tree, this warning about fire, this is spoken to church people who have become judgmental. This is not just spoken to, this wasn't spoken to the crowds who were living in sin and coming and saying and hearing his message and saying, okay, we want to change. This was written to people who are being judgmental. When I was newly married or just with Jenna, just a couple years, I was visiting my family in Indiana. I have cousins and aunts and uncles there, and they were cutting down trees, clearing out an area of their yard. And because they were, my uncle had stepped out for just a brief moment. And by brief moment, I mean maybe for the rest of the day, but he knew he was getting to it the next day. But the axe he was using to cut some of those woods, he had just left at the base of the tree. And so here, Jen and I are talking with my Aunt Wendy, and we're just talking for a moment, and their baby child, Cody, he's maybe 2 years old, a strong kid for his age. He's a toddler. He's a little one. He's walking around in the backyard, and we're just talking, just casually. And then I look, and lo and behold, he had went and he had picked up the axe that was right there at the base of the tree. And he's dragging that along the ground. And I looked at my aunt, and I said, He's got an axe, and she just is calmly asking me, oh no, honey, put the axe down. And I'm like freaking out, you know, he's gonna cut a limb off or something. But she just as calm as he could be, but he's like, the axe is here, it's ready to be used. It was laid out. I saw Daddy use this, I'm ready to go. And I just say that illustration to say that axe was left there because it was being used and was ready to be used. And so the illustration John is saying is, God is ready to do new things in this world and in the lives of people today. And God is able and ready now to remove the sin that exists in our life, to remove the sin that exists in our world. And he is ready to remove that. And is our call now in this season, say, if Jesus is coming, and if Jesus will return, are we ready for that? Will we let him root out the sin in our lives? And more importantly, will we recognize and allow him the opportunity to take care of and root out the evil and the sin that we find in our world? His winnowing fork is in his hand, he says. He will clear that threshing floor, gather the wheat, and burn up the chaff. These are words that aren't words meant to say, watch out to those who have never known Jesus. Those people are called to enter into the Jordan, to enter into the hope and the promise of being a part of the family of God and entering into the promised land. The words of warning about the clearing floor are words written to people who have forgotten that God is the God who likes to lead people to victory, and is written to those who have otherwise become harshly judgmental. And so this season, as we remember that Jesus is indeed coming, and we will celebrate that he came and lived among us on Christmas Day. I'm reminded that just as John the Baptist served as the prophet Elijah to talk about Jesus' first coming, so in the same way, we are called to be prophets, and prophets of grace and prophets of love, to speak about the Christ who is going to come again and get rid of sin once and for all, and lead us into a promised land that we have come to call heaven, and lead us to an eternity where indeed the young put their hands and the nests of vipers, can carry axes without fear, where there is no more crying and there is no more pain, where paths are made smooth. And as we prepare for that, may we open up our hearts and find ways in which we can say, God, I want to give room for you in my life. And there are ways in which I have not made time or given you place in my life. And so I have not been preparing myself for your return, or to even be the voice of hope and good news in a world that so desperately needs a prophet and will be able to say, God has a plan and a purpose for you, and God has a future for you as well. May we pick up that mantle and recognize that the call to be a prophet is one that is given to all those who have received the grace of God, and know that He is leading us and will be with us.
To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.